This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is for the players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Almost 40 years of playing the PlayStations and 5+ years in the games media combined. We thought we'd throw our hats into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
If you would also like to join the PlayStation conversation, you could do so every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, iTunes and other podcast services. If you would like to contribute to the conversation, you can do that as well at www.thepopculturist.com/questions. You can submit your gaming related questions to us and we will attempt to casually elaborate on whatever knowledge we have. More conversation happens on our Facebook community group at facebook.com/groups/thepopculturist, but the most conversation happens on our Discord channel, as we know from our phones blowing up all the time. You can get a link to that over on said Facebook community group. And if you happen to really like what we do, please consider heading over to patreon.com/thepopculturist. Check out the tiers there. There might be something there that interests you.
Hey, man.
Hey.
How you been?
Great.
You look like a frazzled man.
I'm a little... No. What are you talking about? I'm fine. I'm good.
What have you been trying to do this week?
Not smoke.
How's it going for you?
Good. Real good. It's tough.
Yeah. So the easiest way, like, I know how difficult it may have been. The first thing you did, sent me a message probably like...
It was like midnight or something.
Midnight, you're like, hey... I've decided to stop smoking. I'm going to be mean to you.
If I'm grumpier than normal, I apologize in advance. And you said, ha ha, fuck you.
Yeah, I wasn't very supportive.
No, it's fine. It's tough. But, you know, we trudge on.
I think you can push through.
We trudge on through. You know, video games help break up the monotony of the day.
But the thing that I found most interesting, though, although behind the messages, I'm like, ah, that's funny. When you came here today, you're like, man, this nicotine patches are a tough thing. Mm. Like, why is that? You're like, I have to be applied to a non-hairy part of my body.
And I don't have one.
No.
I mean, look at
for
this.
For a small man, you are packed with testosterone. Like, your concentration of testosterone is ridiculous. You're hairy everywhere.
Except up there, you know. But I can't stick a Nicorette patch up there.
Why not?
It's weird.
Beanie on?
Weird. I forget about it. And then I have, like, this big red patch on my head.
you go up somewhere and you're like, oh, it's warm in here. What the fuck is that on your head?
Take the skin off with it. But shave the top of my arms.
Is it good or bad to have nicotine that close to your brain?
Ooh, good question.
Ooh.
I'll experiment and go back to you.
Sweet.
But you also can't wear them.
Update next week.
You can't wear them. Well, the doctor recommended don't wear them through the night either.
The doctor recommended don't wear them on your face.
Yeah, well, yeah. That too. I can't. I'll shave one square out of the beard. No, because apparently they fuck you up with nightmares if you wear them overnight.
Oh, really?
So I'm not doing that. But then you don't need to smoke while you're asleep anyway.
You don't.
Well, I don't. Maybe some people do. But games help break up.
Yeah, speaking of, like,
of life.
A new addiction. So you've replaced the power of cigarettes with the power of Gwent.
Mm. Game's rad, man. Game is so good. I mean, the top 2,000 players in Australia. Yes. Season ends tomorrow. With the new season coming, I'm going to try to get in top 500.
Mm-hmm.
And then... into the top 100 the season after that. Because I only started playing like 2 weeks ago. So if I was in for the whole season, I probably could have gotten into the top 500 because I'm pretty good, I think. My win ratio is like 75.
So get that, yeah, get that dirt off your shoulder.
Dust off my shoulder there. It's just a good game. You have to think really hard every game, because at the start when you start playing, like, you don't know what to expect. You're matched against other new players. You know, they don't know what to expect. But even as you learn the main decks being played and learn what they try to do, you go in with the mindset, I know they're going to try to do this, so I need to prepare.
So you can sort of see where they're going with their cards.
But they're thinking the same thing to you. It's like, I know what you've got and I know what you're trying to do, but you know what I've got and you know what I'm trying to do. It's a game of wits to try to... get more cards out of your
opponent. Because outside of your hand, which is only no more than like 4 cards, right? 4 or 5 cards.
No, you start with 10.
Start with 10. Oh, but you know, as in once you start putting things onto the board, almost everything is open. Like, apart from those hands that because you don't know what's in your deck or what order it is in your deck, but you know, like, those 4 hands, everything else is open. So they can clear... It's very... I think open, I keep saying the word open, but it's like I can look at you and go, okay, I can see pretty much what you're entirely doing.
Yeah, I can see what you're doing, but, you know, there are cards that obviously let you sift through your deck or draw some more cards.
But also, I don't know, I don't know if they can do it with digital. You can probably monitor the cards and when a new one comes in, where it sits and like how long these two have been sitting there. And are you that into it? Like monitoring their hand? Like are they clearly banking on a card? No,
there's an application where it shows you what cards they've played on the left and it shows you what cards you have left in your deck on the right. So you can see, if I do this, can he counter it with this? And you go, no, he's only allowed three in the deck and he's played all three, so I'm safe to do that now.
Okay.
But it is just, it's a game of wits, you know. Eventually, like I said, you know their strategy, they know your strategy, and just trying to play your strategy but also counter theirs but also hide what you're doing so they can't interrupt it. And it's just, it's rad, man. It's so good.
You sent me a photo of a spreadsheet that you have made for this game, you fucking nerd.
Every single online match I've played, with the spreadsheet down, what I played, did I win the coin flip, did I win the game, and then some comments. It's a good learning tool to reflect back on the game.
Are you going to do some formulas and get some statistics out of it and see where you go? And
eventually.
Well, I'm sitting here making fun of you for making spreadsheets, make spreadsheets about Harvest Moon, so...
Lame!
Yeah, that's somehow worse.
As I mentioned on Last Four of the Players, I also picked up The Witcher 3 in the under $30 sale. Mm-hmm.
Still going, by the way. Got some good shit.
Until September 9th. I'm in. It's finally got me. Because I bought it.
Do you think the world building, like Gwent, helped that world building make you understand the creatures and whatever? And
yeah, kind of. I don't know. I got it when it released in 2015. Uh-huh. And it was just kind of overwhelming. You know, I finished the first area, White Orchard, where there's like one notice board with some quests and all that. I finished all that. I was like, oh, that's cool. Then we get to the next area and there's 14 notice boards across this fucking huge map. And I just went, nah. Because I'm a bit of a completionist. No, I have to kind of do everything. I kind of went, that's too much. But yeah, even playing Gwent and learning all the cards in Gwent and then going into The Witcher and, you know, he meets a character, I'm like, oh, that's that card.
Yeah, beat the piss out of you.
And that character explains why this card has this particular ability and all that.
Cool. Like that.
I'm in. I'm just taking the Persona 5 loading screen approach where it always says, you know, take your time in the bottom right corner. I'm taking my time. I'm not in a rush this time to play it, because when it's new, it's kind of like, you know, I got to get through it quick to keep up with everyone else so I can talk about it with my friends and, oh, did you see this, did you see that? But now
the conversation doesn't exist.
The conversation doesn't exist, so I'm just doing my own thing. It's fucking rad. And Tywin Lannister, Charles Dance, voices one of the characters in The Witcher 3 too. I didn't know that until he spoke, this character spoke, Emir von Aerys, Emperor of the Nilfgaardians.
Oh, I don't know. I remember the Emperor.
Yeah, the Emperor. That's Charles Dance, Tywin Lannister. Oh, nice. I heard the voice, I was like, no way. And I looked it up, yeah, that's cool. But yeah, I'm just... These will be the two games I play until Destiny 2. So yeah, imagine for
like 2 weeks.
Next week's For the Players. And yeah, next week's For the Players, it'll be the same fucking thing. I'm still playing Gwent and The Witcher 3. And then Destiny 2 is out the week after, which we'll both be jumping into. But what have you been playing?
I've been having a bit more of a...
You played... I was here an hour before we recorded and you cycled through three games.
Yep.
Really quickly.
Yeah.
How many of them did you finish?
Shut up. So what I've done this way is a bit more of a sampling. Just sort of picked up a couple different things. So with the Lost Legacy out of the way. I've been sampling all year. Yeah, I know. But normally it's like one game, like a week sort of thing. So Lost Legacy, done. Finally finished it. As I said, not finally finished it. Finished it. Cool. Might go back to it. Finish up the treasures. I kind of want to see if I can platinum it. Probably not going to. I took Horizon off the shelf and put it on the coffee table.
Whoa.
So I'm like, I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
With the completion of Lost Legacy, I'm like...
It's got you back into the mindset.
Yeah, it's got me that feeling. And obviously I have the female leads. I'm like, it was pretty fucking sweet too.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't put it back in yet.
And then I come here and you're playing Harvest Moon instead.
With the $30 sale, I picked up Harvest Moon Save the Homeland on PS2. Mm-hmm. I booted up when you were here for the first time.
You didn't even make it through the tutorial.
Well, it's a tutorial. I'm like, Josh is probably so bored right now. So
I was playing with your kid. I was fine.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'll bail out because I don't want Josh to get super bored. Yeah. Looks cool. Runs reasonably well.
Yeah. Well, so it should.
As it should. PS2 game. Fuck that. Yeah. It's like, hey, runs it like 60 frames. It'd be weird if it ran at 20.
PS2 game. I expected no less.
I jumped back into God of War 3. Mm-hmm. A couple of days ago and just before you came.
Photo mode?
No, I'm not digging around with photo mode this time. For me, that was more of a, I'm literally 80% of the way through this game. I picked it up, the sale a couple of months back, I literally got 80% of the way through it. I'm like, I'm so close to finishing it.
You're going to tick it off?
I'm going to tick it off.
Nice, good work.
Because now that I've done it, now that I've finished the game, it's like, well, now I kind of feel like, not the pull, but it's just...
The satisfaction of end
because
credits.
Because I hadn't finished any other game this year, I'm like...
You admit it. Thank you.
Well, on paper. I have reasons to believe I've still completed one more other game, but I don't know what it was. I can't, for life, I can't think of what it was. So, yeah, I'm thinking I might go back and try chip away at some of them. Obviously, some I might not end up going back to. Like, I wouldn't mind doing more Persona, but we're about to hit the fucking busiest period of the year.
Now's not the time to boot up Persona.
Now's not the time to get back into Persona. No, but what I have been playing that is would have just wrapped up is the Call of Duty World War II Private Beta.
Oh, did you actually play it?
I have.
Oh, okay.
I played for about a couple of hours this morning at time of recording. I like it.
Of course you do.
Because I've been itching for COD for actual weeks. Like, see, ever since they announced the Modern Warfare Call of Duty 4 was...
Standalone.
I'm like, you want to play with me? No. You want to play with me? No. You want to play with me? No. So, like, just kind of like, I've had this itch, and then I've been playing Overwatch. I'm like, it's not doing it for me. Mm. Like, I need it. Like, and then this, this is the COD that I love. Now, granted, I don't play a lot of FPSs, so I can't be like, oh man, this part's like, I can't break it down that to that level. But to me, it feels good.
Mm.
It's take, like, you know, it's back to what I love. Like, Call of Duty 4, Black Ops, and World at War. Like, World at War is my jam. Mm. I love that game on the PS3. So having more of that.
So from Ghosts onwards, just hasn't done it for you.
No, like I have Infinite Warfare. I did that stream of it, but like I've not actively played multiplayer since Black Ops 2.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So for me, like, so in other words, I got the shit kicked out of me when I played it.
Naturally.
Also, matchmaking was kind of weird. The first couple of times I tried to connect to a game, it's like, bing, it's me versus one other guy. I'm like, okay.
Ultimate test of skill.
Yeah, and then, bing, bing, two people appear on his team. I'm like, what the fuck? Bing, one person on mine. Bing, he's gone. I'm like, oh, God.
How'd you go? Don't leave me hanging.
Rammed.
Oh, shame.
But then I somehow matchmaking sort of picked up and I started jumping into proper games again. It was really good.
Cool.
Yeah, it's grounded. All the garbage jetpackies and things have gone.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with it. And unlike Overwatch, you don't get thrown 8 kilometers away from the point.
Oh, whingy, whingy, whinge, whinge. The game's balanced around that, for God's sakes.
And I hate it.
Speaking of Overwatch.
So we head into the news. We inform the players about what PlayStation news happened in the past week.
As is tradition, we begin the new segment with some Overwatch news. Overwatch escort map Junkertown has been revealed at Gamescom, as well as an animated short. Former home to Junkrat and Roadhog, Overwatch's new Junkertown escort map will take players on an escort payload laden with treasure and explosives through a post-apocalyptic town come in battle arena. Looks like Mad Max.
Yeah.
Now, there was a little bit of controversy from the game.
It's so
weird. From this announcement, that the takeout, well, the takeaway joint is called Takeout.
In part of the town, there is a like a fluorescent sign on it, and it says Takeout, which in Australia, we don't say that. It's Takeaway.
So they take away. And also something Junkrat says a line about, you know, they took our land and or something. Ooh, along those lines, and we'll be back. That's kind of touched people the wrong way in regards to our indigenous population and everything.
Yeah, it's very bit weird.
So we did get an apology from Jeff Kaplan, the game director for Overwatch. In terms of the takeaway part, really tongue-in-cheek. He's like, oh, so sorry. I'd like to apologize to the entire nation.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of, you know, Lost in Translation. Yeah, Lost in Translation.
Yeah, really tongue-in-cheek. But then he was... of course, more sincere about the that line. So I don't know if that'll stay in or the entire...
Yeah, who knows.
It was in the animated short, so they can't really like patch it out because it's a fucking movie.
Yeah.
Early story details reveal that this shabby map was once where Omnium, where the likes of Bastion, were constructed and has since become home to Junkers and their boss, Queen of Junkertown. Map looks cool. Looks like a really cool map. Nice. I'm excited.
I've still not seen any of the shorts at this point.
Oh, man. They're so good. Yeah, I'm going to have to. They're so good.
I might do a session after
And they this. Also released at Gamescom an actual... Like, this was a short... The Junkertown one was in terms in the in-game engine.
Yep.
Whereas they've released a short movie for May, which is using their...
Have you watched it?
Yeah. Which is using their their proper animating engine that
so
they
So, all I know about it is I saw a little video from our buddies at Loadscreen. Tom has a May... pop vinyl.
Yeah.
And from the shot, you see this bit of paper slide up that just says, I'm sorry for what happened.
Mm.
And I'm like, I have no context.
Mm.
Something bad happened?
You should watch the shorts and find out.
I'm just going to say,
they are super high quality. The short actually pulled on my heartstrings a little bit. Because all the other ones, I think they've released five other ones so far. Soldier, Bastion, Sombra, Widowmaker, and another one. And they're all kind of action-y and da-da-da-da-da. Okay. Except the Bastion one. The Bastion one plays like a Pixar short film.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. But the May one really kind of tugged on the heart a little bit too. Even if you don't know the backstory and you just watch that 10-minute clip, it's a really good message in there. but yeah. That's a thing that's happening in Overwatch. Still firing on all cylinders.
Horizon, I haven't played any this week. I assume you haven't.
I played some yesterday.
Okay, so I'm sorry, you know, not Gwent hasn't entirely consumed you.
No, I mean I can only play so much. Gwent has on the Gwent. Gwent has some daily objectives in there,
yeah.
And if you win 6 rounds, you get enough to buy a card pack. So I at least do that every day.
At least six rounds.
Nice. That could be 3 games, or that could be 6, or that could be many more. Because even if you only win one round but lose the other two, you still get the one round reward anyway. So you're always working towards something. Horizon Zero Dawn's latest patch, among other fixes, introduces a new easier difficulty called Story Mode.
You
didn't
try to segue that, did you?
No.
What? Like, oh yeah,
cool. How do I segue from Overwatch to Gwent to Horizon? Horizon Zero Dawn Story Mode, according to a post on the PlayStation blog, allows players to avoid worrying about combat by boosting player damage and reducing the amount of damage that the player takes from enemies. The patch is intended to allow those who want to explore Aloy's world and experience her adventure to do so undeterred by any difficult battles. Now, I played Horizon on easy. If I can play a game on easy these days, I'm just going to tick it to easy because I'd much rather just...
And you still got the platinum playing on easy?
Yeah, there's no difficulty.
Oh, good. Locked
trophies
that
in that. So I'd imagine you still could even in story mode at this point. I'd rather just play it on easy and just get through the game. But Horizon was still difficult on easy. You still need the reflexes. You still need to know the weaknesses and, you know, how to counter them and stuff. So I don't know how easy this patch will make it, but that's good. You know, some people just don't have that level of ability to gameplay what Horizon needed.
See, this would be fantastic for my father, my stepfather.
Mm-hmm.
As I've mentioned before, my stepfather decided to become a gamer at the age of 60.
Good man.
Through the age of 52.
That's 58. A bigger age 58.
Game. No, he just turned 60 and we bought him PS4 games for his birthday.
Okay.
So, I think he's 58.
Okay.
So either way, so he spent the last, like, year and a half playing games.
Yep.
He doesn't play much. Like, but, like, I showed him this. My mum's like, yeah, can we play it?
Horizon.
Yeah. Because, okay. Like, my mum's got carpal tunnel, so she can't hold the controller for long. So,
yep.
My stepdad plays the games, and my mum watches and contributes and sort of, you know, helps.
Mm-hmm.
So right now they're doing The Lost Legacy.
Yep.
They're having a great time.
Nice. Because he really liked Uncharted 4, didn't he?
Love. Yep. I felt so sad though.
Why?
He sent me a message. He's like, I picked up Uncharted 5 today. I'm like,
it's kind of not.
Oh, I don't want to message you and tell you that you're wrong.
But you're so wrong.
You're so wrong.
You fool.
I'm like, hey, it's more... I said, oh, man, it's very similar to Uncharted 4. It's like kind of like an expansion. Mm. It's a lot of things. Like, you don't have to learn too much new stuff. It's all mostly the same.
Yeah.
It's good, though.
It's fine. It's a fun game. But the point
I'm making is, so when they pick it up, because they want to pick up... My mum really was intrigued by Horizon. Mm-hmm. This would be a great way for them to be able to play the game and not get super mad.
Yeah, and I think more games should do it.
Oh, yeah.
There is nothing wrong. What was it? I think it was Star Fox. The last game, but it had invincibility mode for kids, and people were whinging. You know, if you not, you know, get good, you know, the whole memes come out and all that kind of stuff.
The internet has this weird stigma about difficulty,
and Mario Kart has it too, with like the auto steering and driving.
Yeah, but
whatever.
If you're only on 50cc, you may get a placeholder if you don't do anything.
Yeah,
but like the second you move up in any of the CCs, you're fucked.
Yeah, but I don't know. I like easy modes. It's, you know, call me a loser, like, or whatever.
We're getting old, and
it's not so
time.
Much. Yeah, it's the time. You know, I'd rather just kill a boss the first go than die 7 times trying to get past that same bit. It's no different to me.
We don't have time, says the man that played 200 hours of Persona 5.
110. I don't know where you're getting 200 from.
I'd make it 200.
I have sunk in 55 hours into Gwent in the last 2 weeks. So, speaking of Gwent and story modes, there's your segue. Sake. Prepare to embark on a new adventure from the world of The Witcher in Thronebreaker, Gwent's single-player campaign. Gwent Thronebreaker spins a true... You haven't seen anything of this.
Let me get through it. I'm just... Okay.
Gwent Thronebreaker spins a truly regal tale of Meave, a war veteran of the two northern realms. Facing an imminent foreign invasion, Meave is forced to once again enter the warpath and set out on a dark journey of destruction and revenge. Now, this is not... It's a CCG, obviously, Gwent. This is not your normal just tacked-on single-player mode content like Hearthstone. Hearthstone has adventure mode where you just fight a series of different bosses to win new cards. This is 10 to 15 hours long with as much dialogue and choices as the Hearts of Stone DLC. That is fucking... That sets a precedent for these card games. And the way... It's kind of cel-shaded, but it's isometric like Diablo. So, you know...
2.5D.
Yeah, 2.5D. So you're Geralt and you're running around what seems to be a fucking massive world. And the story seems really deep and really... You have your dialogue choices and all that, which influence the outcome of the game. They've put a lot of work into this. For a CCG single-player mode, this could be a standalone game and people would fucking lap it up. You should watch the trailer.
I really think I should try to do some of the news some weeks.
Why?
Because you just picked the three things that you really like.
Horizon?
No, I just find it funny. It's like, hey, what have you been playing this week? Oh, Overwatch and Gwent. The news! Overwatch and Gwent.
It's relevant.
I'm not complaining.
It came from Gamescom.
I can't be bothered doing it. So I just find it very funny.
It came from Gamescom. It's big news. Gwent hasn't had... Gwent's still in beta, but it hasn't had anything for 2 months, yeah?
I'm
so
giving you shit.
The community is fucking pumped.
That is actually
this.
Some really awesome news. It kind of shows the legitimacy of what they're trying to do with Gwent. I think that's really important.
Yeah.
And that it separates it from Elder Scrolls Legends, mm-hmm. Hearthstone,
yeah.
Every other fucking card game there is right now. And I think that's really cool.
What we've seen so far...
It's just funny.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I get it. How I'm into Gwent and then all of a sudden there's Gwent news. But, you know, it's a thing. But it just seems like the amount of effort put in, the 10 to 15 hours of content and, you know, as much dialogue, spoken dialogue as Hearts of Stone DLC, which has been, you know, The Witcher 3 DLC expansions have been lauded as the pinnacle of what expansion DLC should be. So to have that amount of content in it, it's a good sign. Good sign for the game. And they've also announced an esports league, which I'll update you on that when I'm in it. Wink. Or I just get burnt out in 2 weeks and never play it again, but we'll see. Jurassic World Evolution. Yeah, see, I'm looking after the both
of us. Thanks, man.
Microsoft revealed Jurassic World Evolution during its Gamescom 2017 briefing. Coming in summer 2018, so winter for us down here in Oz, to Xbox One, PS4, and PC. Whatever. This park building sim is being created by Frontier Developments, who has worked on the Roller Coaster Tycoon series as well as Elite Dangerous. The reveal trailer points to gameplay that involves building a park, breeding some dinos, and probably dealing with some problems. When the dinos get out of their pens. So, like, instead of putting natural disasters in, it's like, I'm just going to let T-Rex out for a while. That'll be fun. In a quote, as longtime fans of the entire Jurassic series, we're thrilled to be putting players in charge of their own Jurassic world, said Frontier's Chief Creative Officer Queef, Johnny Watts. Continuing the quote, we're excited to bring over 15 years of management, simulation, and creation development expertise to a destination and franchise that remains an inspiration to us. Evolution will launch alongside Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, which will hit theaters on June 22nd, 2018. This looks rad. This looks so rad.
Oh, man. Like, after falling into the fun of City Skylines, I kind of like, man, I really enjoy these games. Now,
yeah, it's nice that I was worked into it even though I wasn't participating in that stream.
With the Josh Saunders Hare Memorial Cemetery.
Yeah, thank you.
That was a good place.
Yeah, appreciate it.
So there was a similar game that I played on my phone, funny enough. I think it was just called Jurassic Park Builder. Mm. Now, obviously, it's not in-depth or look as good as this, but that was fun. It was one of those Pooey Market transaction games. Like, it's designed to take your money. Yeah. This doesn't seem that way. This looks awesome. It looks really cool. Linked release with the movie makes more sense. I thought the movie was further out.
Me too. June 22nd next year.
Yeah, I thought the movie was way further. I thought it was like 2020.
It's like 10 months away, if that.
Yeah, like not too bad at all. It's interesting that it was shown at the Microsoft conference, seeing as it's everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, what would it else would have been shown?
Oh no, it's all may have just been dropped on the internet. I didn't know it was going to get like a stage presence. But no, it's pretty cool.
Would have been nice, I think, for them to have it revealed at E3. I think because the big thing was they didn't have anything really new to show at E3.
Yeah, maybe they weren't ready.
Maybe it wasn't ready for a trailer and all that. But cool, I'm down. I'm super keen.
Super, super keen.
You know who
just
else
the
is...
the idea of him just going ballistic and the T-Rex just breaks out and fucks awesome. Everything up. Oh, love it.
You know who's not super keen?
BioWare.
BioWare. Mass Effect Andromeda will no longer receive new single-player updates or content. BioWare announced the final update was 1.10, confirming that there are no more future updates or bug fixes or tweaks forthcoming. However, the game's multiplayer will still receive ongoing support, including new character kits and missions, details for which will be revealed at a later date. As for the unresolved plot of the missing Quarian arc, I don't know what that is, BioWare will explore and finish the plot thread, as well as tell brand new stories via comics and novels.
It's Go. It's a bit of a shame. Like, I didn't play it, but it's just, I know the legacy of Mass Effect and just what it means to a lot of people. And it's kind of poo that it did, quote unquote, that bad.
I think because, you know, because the BioWare Montreal has now been merged with Line. You reported on it like the other week. Star Wars Battlefront developer.
It's not Visceral. Is it Visceral?
I don't know.
And whoever, it'll come to me.
You know what I mean? So that studio has been merged in with the Star Wars Battlefront 2 studio, and they're going to be working on things. So I think BioWare Montreal...
The guys are doing the multiplayer.
The guys that... The team that made Andromeda kind of got the short end of the stick because many of them were new. Mm. Many of them, it was their first project, and they were given one of the most acclaimed titles ever to try to live up to that legacy, and they was kind of fighting a losing battle, I think.
I mean, we had a conversation in the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/popculturist.
Nice.
And someone posted the article, and I'm like, oh man, what's that mean for season pass holders? And they're like, and someone come in going, there wasn't one.
Nice.
I'm like,
well done.
What do you mean there wasn't one?
Of course, it's EA. Like, of course,
like,
there
it's
was
EA. Every game has a season pass these days. Like, no, never had one. I'm like,
It is a shame, and it pretty much shows that EA is done with Mass Effect for an undetermined amount of time.
Shelved,
we're not getting Mass Effect, I'm going to say, for at least a decade. I think they are so far away. I would say 5 years away. Maybe in 5 years they'll announce they're going back to it, but I think it's going to be such a long time before we see another Mass Effect titled main game.
This is something I remember hearing from another place. The benefit of a Mass Effect Andromeda is that it's... In terms of the naming, apart from the Mass Effect part, it was Mass Effect 4 and it flopped this hard. Mm. That's a problem. That's brand damaging.
Yeah.
Mass Effect Andromeda's like, no, it's a side story, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
It's still dangerous.
I get your point. But it is a shame. But, you know, maybe it'll come back bigger and better than ever. Speaking of comebacks... Speaking of people talking to each other, following the announcement of several... Following the announcement of several games featuring crossplay between PCs and consoles, excluding the PS4 at E3 2017, a Microsoft executive has explained that they and Sony are in ongoing discussions about making cross-network play a reality someday. Speaking to Game Reactor, Xbox head of marketing Aaron Greenberg confirmed the companies have discussed the possibility of crossplay and continue to do so. Greenberg remains hopeful that Sony will be supportive of the initiative. What are you laughing at? In a quote, absolutely, yeah, we are... We're talking to Sony about crossplay. We do partner with them on Minecraft, and of course, we would like to enable them to be part of that one community to unite the gamers. So we're talking to them, and we're hopeful that they'll be supportive of us. Greenberg told
me. I'm just giggling because the conversations are like, "Hey, you want to go crossplay? No. Cool. We talked about it.
in like 2 weeks, and do crossplay.
You sure you don't want to do crossplay? No.
I think I don't really want to talk too much about it.
We kind of ranted on it last week.
Yeah, we did. I do hope it happens one day.
I do and I don't.
I don't care if I'm playing with an Xbox player in a multiplayer game. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, but you're not a businessman. Yeah, you're not the
business. No, I know. No, but this is for the players. Mm. And we are the players. I don't care if someone's name tag in a multiplayer game has a little like green X next to it. Like, oh, that guy's playing on Xbox. What do I care? I don't give a shit. Mm. This is for the players, man. For the players.
Calm me down. Yeah. I got lost in the message there.
That's all I'm going to say about that for now.
No, yeah, look, see, for me, as I said, as I've said it before and I'll say it again, this is Microsoft doing the only thing they can do. Xbox One X launch sort of fell flat. The Xbox One in general is falling flat. The only thing they can bank on is quote-unquote goodwill stuff. And them going, we're trying for you, the players. Like, yeah, because no one's playing on Xbox, so it's like... Well, let's talk to the person, the console people are playing on.
I'm grinding my teeth, so let's move on.
Yeah.
Fallout 4 VR, Doom VFR, and Skyrim VR will all be released in the final months of 2017, Bethesda announced as part of QuakeCon 2017. Too many cons, man. This is ridiculous.
Too crazy.
Skyrim VR will be released for PSVR November 17, while Doom VFR will be released on both PSVR HTC Vive December 1st.
Oh, virtual fucking reality.
Virtual fucking reality, bitch. According to a post on Bethesda's website, Fallout 4 VR will follow on December 12th, and at launch will only be available on HTC Vive, though as Bethesda noted on Twitter, the publisher is looking to support as many platforms as possible later down the track. IGN's Alana Pierce says that playing Skyrim VR was a rough experience, though. In order to walk around with move controllers, you use left and right buttons to turn in jarring fractions and another button to point and teleport. And in a game with fast-moving enemies like rats, she spent a lot of time spinning in place, unable to move fast enough to see the enemies darting around me. Those, what do they call the stuff with S? Those little fucking rat skeevers.
Skeevers.
Rat skeever things. They're actually called skeevers. Skyrim is also a game full of dungeons, a lot of which have narrow paths and sharp turns, which are annoying to navigate when you can't smoothly teleport around a corner. You have to get to the end of the tunnel, stop, pivot, and teleport again. Now, I know you're keen for this. You probably still are. But what are your thoughts on that?
It's exactly what I thought. Like, when we watched the Bethesda and they sort of announced it at the PlayStation conference, I was like, that's so fucking cool.
But how?
Wait.
It is worth noting that it will be playable with a DualShock 4.
So I'm likely that I will play it because we'll get it because I'm a sucker. So yeah. We'll get it and I'll play it. I'll put the hat on and I'll play it. But I'll be playing with a controller.
Yeah.
What they need to do, or so they need to, it depends on how committed they are to the VR at this point, is so when Move was originally released, it had the one that we know and use now for VR, had this little thing called like the pickle. So it's essentially a smaller version with the analog stick on it.
The nunchuck.
The Wii nunchuck, right?
Yeah.
Bring that shit in, put a ball on the end of that motherfucker, and then like that would solve your problem because you're the right axis, this is your left.
Yeah.
That would fix the problem in a second.
Maybe they're hesitant on releasing more peripherals for it.
No, because you said like people are very, you know, people... You still need the two if you want VR, but they're like, hey, here's this one for when you play games that need to move. And I understand why they do these jump things to prevent motion sickness.
Yeah.
Because that's really something you've got to take into account. But in a game like that, because the same thing when we're playing Farpoint, right? I felt a little bit motion sick at the beginning, but once you get into it and you get immersed in that world, you don't feel sick anymore. Like you just adapt to it. Your body, like you know not to fling your thumb around as much, right?
Yeah, the whole teleporting thing, it doesn't work with Skyrim. Like I'm thinking my experience with it, because I played it the remastered this year and I played it all the way through. Yeah, you do need to pivot on the spot a lot and you do need to sidestep, you know, really easily, especially when a dragon's coming at you like breathing fires of death. You need that movement, that free movement. So I don't know.
And same goes for Doom. They're literally the same goes for Doom. I do not know how they can get the same fast paced action of Doom
when you got to point at the ground every couple of seconds to teleport. Yeah, we'll see. Speaking of teleporting from past to present, Square Enix has announced. I'm trying my best.
That's pretty good.
Square Enix has announced a full 3D remake of Secret of Mana coming to Steam, PS4, and Vita. Vita. On February 15, 2018. According to the announcement, Secret of Mana retains its long-held charm while incorporating improvements such as upgraded gameplay for modern platforms and newly arranged musical score. Secret of Mana was originally released on Super Nintendo in 1993 and follows main characters Rundi, Prim, and Popoy. As a pre-order bonus for this new version, Square is offering Moogle and Tiger costumes for all characters as DLC. Did you ever play Secret
of Mana? Sure
didn't. Really? Oh. That's why I put it in, because I swear, I was Mystic Quest. Mystic Quest Legend was your thing.
Yeah.
This is awesome. Secret of Mana is one of the best RPGs ever made. I had it on, I still have it on Super Nintendo. It's great. I'm keen. I love me some JRPGs.
When's it coming out?
February. Aye. February 15th. Yeah, I love me some good JRPGs, especially on the Vita. Thank you very much. Yeah. Good to see Vita support, especially from companies big as Square.
Credit to Square. Out of all the companies that support, they have probably put the most on Vita.
Vita is an amazing... My Vita is PS2 and PS1 classics. Yeah. PS1 classics.
And
RPGs. And this is exactly what the Vita is for me.
It's a classic and an RPG.
It's both. It ticks both boxes. So yeah, props to Square for continuing to support the Vita. I don't know if they're planning... I can't see them making money off the Vita version, but with the...
Depends if it's cross-buy.
Yeah, I don't know. Fine, but with the lack of anything coming to Vita these days, it might
people
be
people are hungry for it.
People are hungry for something, and even people that don't generally like JRPGs might consider picking it up just because it's new and it's got good word around it.
Buzz.
Speaking of buzz, character sure. who's always buzzed, Hellboy.
What?
Because he's fucking drinks heaps.
Oh.
You've seen the movies.
That's true.
Hellboy, Raiden, and Black Manta are coming to Injustice 2 as part of the game's second Fighter Pack. Fighter Pack 2 will be available for purchase starting September 12th, at which point the first characters from the bunch will be available for early access. The three new fighters are included in part of the $100 USD Injustice 2 Ultimate Edition, which features a total
$160 of Australian one.
Features a total of 9 DLC characters as well as 3 premiere skins and turns and all that extra shit. You can still buy the same pack for $40 USD. If you want, if you have the game but didn't buy the pack. Hellboy.
Yeah.
Hellboy.
The correct word, as you spit, as you spelled it for the headline, is Hellboy.
Fuck yeah, man.
And it's cartoon Hellboy too.
Yeah, it's... It looks like...
Cartoon comic, I should say.
It looks
sorry.
An in-between between Ron Perlman's Hellboy and Mike Mignola's Hellboy from the comics. Not voiced by Ron Perlman, unfortunately.
Makes sense.
But, you know, that's cool. He's ultimate. He's gonna grow the horns and do something fucking wicked. I guarantee it. This is how you get me back to a game by my favorite comic character ever.
So you're gonna have to buy the pack.
I'll see if I can. I wonder if you can just buy Fighter Pack 2.
Yeah, you can.
I only want Hellboy. I don't give a fuck about Black Manta and Raiden. But Hellboy will get me back in. That's so cool. It's so cool because Vertigo is owned by DC, right?
Correct.
Yeah, because Hellboy is a Vertigo comic. So it's cool seeing DC willing to dip into that pool of characters as well.
And it's someone new, like, because with Injustice, with DC versus Mortal Kombat, they've exhausted a lot of their big characters. So, like, what's something new? What's something different that, as you said, brings people back?
Yeah, and this totally does. Because Hellboy doesn't have a video game, as far as I know.
No.
It would have been trash anyway. It would have been so bad.
I need to check that out. What? Correct us if we're wrong. Let us know in the comments.
What, if Hellboy has a video game?
Yeah.
I don't want to know if he does, because I'll be tempted to play it and just ruin the character for me. That's cool. That's how you get me back into a game. Speaking of getting back into games.
Speaking
of games, top selling games for the week ending 20th of August 2017 have been released, starting at number 10. Horizon Zero Dawn. Number 9, Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered. Number 8, Rainbow Six Siege. Number 7, The Last of Us. Number 6, still in there, Rugby League Live 4. Number 4, 5, Uncharted 4. Number 5 is Uncharted 4, not 4-5. Number 4, actual number 4, is Agents of Mayhem, the only new game on this list. Number 3, somehow, GTA 5. Number 2, Ghost Recon Wildlands. And number 1, still, Crash Bandicoot The Insane Trilogy.
My point still stands. If Agents of Mayhem is on this fucking list, do you know how many Crash copies they sold this week? 8. And it's number 1.
Maybe we're underestimating Agents of Mayhem.
No, I think we're overestimating.
Because it looks fun.
I think we're overestimating. Like, every week, we're overestimating how many games get sold in Australia a week. It has to be in the thousands at best.
Yeah, it's still impressive.
No, I mean, like, total, right? In order for Crash to be in the number ones, it would have had to sell like 2,000 copies this week.
Predictions for next week is Naughty Dog will have 3 games in that top 10 list, because Lost Legacy
number one for sure.
Will be number one. Uncharted 4 and The Last of Us will still be in there as well. I think they're both on sale in this $30 sale.
No, they're not.
Oh, no. That's strange. I wonder how they're back in there then. And GTA 5.
Naughty Dog buzz before.
Yeah, maybe. And GTA 5 getting back up to number 3. Things are fucking monster, man.
Yeah, I know a couple people in the community have jumped back in. I'm like, yes.
You keen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to play it. Another community member was like, yeah, how much is it? Yeah, I'm not playing it. Because it's still full price.
Oh. They can justify it, obviously, if people are still buying it for full price.
Yeah, I think somewhere else talked about it. They're like...
I reckon they look at the list and they balance it. And when it starts to drop towards out of the 10, boom, sale. Get it back up there.
Yeah, they don't give it strange numbers, but like...
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
And now moving into the new little section that you've created.
The section wasn't meant to be till later, but if you want to do it now,
just go down the list. We'll do it now, yeah.
Okay, fine. Would you like to introduce the segment?
A little segment that Josh pitched last week. It's called For the Trailers, where he checks out some trailers from the week and lets you know what he thinks.
Here are 5 trailers I think you should watch this week if you haven't already. I know you haven't seen some of them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Jurassic World Evolution's trailer, obviously, from Frontier. Ruiner, Ugly Heart. Trailer. That's a new game from Devolver Digital.
Nice.
Looks incredible. Looks incredible.
Okay.
I think you should watch that trailer. Junkertown, the plan from Blizzard. That's the short for the new map. The controversial short from the new map. Destiny 2 got an official launch trailer. And Gwent Story Mode got a trailer as well. I recommend you check out all of those trailers because they are all phenomenal in different ways.
That's not pretty rad. Speaking of rad. So, the topic for this week's episode comes from a couple different things. It comes from David Chataway, who's sitting off camera right now. He is playing Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle on the Switch. And for some fucking reason, Gamescom, they announced Assassin's Creed and Final Fantasy are doing a thing together.
Of course they are. They're besties. Didn't you know?
No.
I didn't either until that was announced.
So my conversation is, Josh, what games need that sweet crossover treatment?
Why did it bring... Sorry, I was just bringing up the drop while you're introducing that. It brought up the drop from
November.
April.
Oh, April. Oh, April. Dang.
What, any two games mixed together?
Yeah. So obviously the one that I'd like to see, this is an easy. This is super easy, but I think it'd be really cool.
Okay.
Have Nathan Drake and Lara Croft come together. It's an easy one. Not come together in like the consensual way.
I'm sure they would.
Yeah. But I mean, in terms of, it'd be really cool to sort of have them to do their adventuring together. Like in the same way that in Uncharted 4, you've got, you know, Sam and Drake's, Nathan's, you know, buddying, like, hey, help each other up on ledges and stuff. And like, Lara can hold her own, like, because she's from the new games as well. So
I'd like to see her save Nate's ass.
100%.
Just as like, because Lara was first. Uncharted is obviously modeled off
And then she could sort of make a throwaway line. It's like, you wouldn't be here without me, and then keep going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I know what that means. Boom.
Or I've been doing this longer than you have.
Ooh,
something like that as well. Just a little, just some cheeky bants with the Drake
and
boys.
One, it would look fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, like Uncharted, you know, Naughty Dog has incredibly impressive skills. And with Crystal Dynamics and what they did with Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider, game looks fantastic.
Still on sale for $12.
That's the first one.
That's the first one, but it's still a Tomb Raider game.
Yeah. Did you end up picking it up?
Not yet.
You gonna?
I don't know. I'll pick it up. I'll add it to the library.
Mm.
But I won't be able to touch it for a while.
No,
with, you know, Destiny.
That's my first, probably.
Okay. That's not exactly like breaking genres and mixing
them
together.
No, like that's
something
too crazy. That's sort of playing it safe. Like, okay, it is the safe pick.
Yeah, okay. What about we take the expansive and horrifying world of The Witcher.
Okay.
Monsters and, you know, the world.
Yep.
It's a terrible world to live in.
Horrible.
Geralt's out of the picture.
He's old.
He's playing Gwent. He's addicted. He's trying to get into the esports league. And instead of Geralt, we get to play our favorite WWE wrestlers.
Okay.
You don't use weapons. You don't need your silver swords and your crossbows and your bombs and all that. Instead, when you're fighting a griffin and it tries to fly away, you, playing as Kurt Angle, grabs that motherfucker's leg and puts it in an ankle lock. Until the bitch taps out. Yes, fucking slamming its claws into the ground. Or like the neckers. They're like the undead little things that swarm you. Like an Undertaker, just fucking last ride, picks one up, slams it onto the rest of them. I think that game would be amazing.
What would be really interesting is like this big open world, like this big, beautiful, gross world, and then a dude in fucking Speedos.
Oh, yeah, they wear their uniforms. Oiled. They're spandex.
Yeah. Like, they don't adapt to the world. So they're all dirty still, but they're all like.
But you know, the dialogue in The Witcher as well is very, I guess you'd say medieval in terms of tongue and language. And you either go the medieval peasants.
The old English, yeah.
The old English, or then you get the fancy old English, like the emperor and all that, who talk really proper and proper manners and all pronounced and all that. And then you got The Rock in there, just like laying the smackdown.
So can you smell what that dwarf is cooking? And then he goes over there.
You know, your dialogue options fit the wrestler that you're playing.
Yeah.
So, you know, when someone says, you know, the dialogue option, you know, you walk up to someone and they're like, please, please, I need help. And it's like, who are you? And they're like, it doesn't matter what your name is. But they could have.
And like, because I have like Hulk Hogan come in there and sort of, you know, you go,
what can I do for you, brother?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you see him in the world and it's like, hey, I need you to help me. Like, what can I do for you, brother? And it's like,
You got like Macho Man Randy Savage in there. I'm going to go to that cave and I'm going to fuck him up.
And it's kind of in the same way it's like a John Cena with the, you know, you can't see me, like visible. Like magic in the world.
Like Kane, you know, when he does the pyrotechnics, he pulls his hand out and fire comes out of the ground.
Yeah, like that, bring the magic into it.
When I get into the Esports League of Gwent,
yes,
I'd imagine I'm going to be invited to CD Projekt Red.
Cool.
As the top player in Australia. If you're invited, jump on playing, you know, we'll go together.
Okay.
I'm going to pitch this to them. Because who is it? Activision that does? No, EA?
It's 2K that do wrestling.
2K that does wrestling games. I'm going to encourage them to listen to this, just this 5 minute snippet of our show.
Dude, the logo is right there. CD Projekt. It's spelled different, spelled with the K. Someone draws a 2 above it.
What?
Because you're in project, like it's 2K,
right? Oh, okay, yeah.
Like,
right.
That's that logo that you sell. It's CD Projekt, everyone's like, oh my God. And you put a 2 above it, and everyone's like, what the fuck? And then WWE 2K18, CD Projekt Red. And everyone's like, what the fuck? No,
the title would be...
And then you cut to the trailer of just like, mankind doing the sock to a fucking elf, you know?
The stink fist. Yeah. Rikishi giving the stink face.
And
the title will be WWE.
And what's
Witcher.
Really weird will be like Hornswoggle with other leprechauns. and they're looking at Hornswoggle. That's really racially insensitive, mate.
Or Rhino with the gore. Literally just charges through things. They explode into pieces. And it'd be called WWE Witcher. World Wrestling Witches. Well, that's a fun pitch. What else you got?
I don't know now, kind of.
Did we peak too early?
I think we peaked too early. That was really good.
On a more serious note, I'd like maybe Persona and Final Fantasy.
That's a good one.
They're very, very similar in terms of gameplay. You know, they are mostly traditional JRPGs with very big character development and all that. But both franchises have such well fleshed out characters. Be rad to see them interacting with each other.
Yeah, and in the same way that you have,
I don't think it'll play any differently. It'll still be a turn based JRPG. Of course. Totally cool. Having personas and summons,
that
you know,
was,
GFs
that
and
was
all
what
that.
I was trying to say. Yeah. I couldn't think of the word for what they were. Final Fantasy.
Oh, they named a lot. You got summons and Guardian Forces, but they're the same kind of thing. Seeing how they would interact with each other and all that, because that'd be rad, I think.
Yeah, I think you kind of sold me on a little bit.
Yeah, like a good 100-hour story out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm out.
I am done. The weird part will be trying to do like a Final Fantasy story in a school.
Yeah, I guess.
Or taking Persona out of a school. Or as in that's how it works, right? So in the same way that you have the Phantom World, is it called the Phantom World in Persona 5? What's it called?
Metaverse.
The Metaverse. What's it called in Golden?
Oh, the TV World.
Yeah, TV World.
I forget.
Yeah.
It's not, they refer to it as a TV, but it has a name.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, you have that, and that's the connection to the Final Fantasy world.
Oh, they go through their doorway or whatever, and they end up in...
They open a box of fucking cup noodles, and inside that cup noodles is Final Fantasy world.
It's incredibly stereotypical.
Cup noodles is a massive part of Final Fantasy 15.
It is. It's disgusting, actually.
Like, that's not, no racism there at all. Straight up, what's it called? Product placement.
Yeah. Oh no, I'd love to see, you know, characters like Joker interacting with, you know, the staples like Cloud or Tidus from Final Fantasy. I think there might be something there.
Interesting.
And they've got to help each other in turn. They go into that world to help them, but then they show them how to come into their world and help them do something. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not a writer.
Because outside of like Teddy, because does Teddy leave the TV world? He doesn't come into the main world, does he?
Oh, he totally does.
He does. Well, there you go.
He gets a human avatar.
In the same way that Morgana does.
And he's really fucking horny all the time. It's so funny. He's always chasing the tail. It's funny as shit.
Mine is a combination of things I was playing before I came in here. I'm thinking Harvest Moon meets the God of War.
Oh, that farm is effed.
Yeah, it's a really... But think about it, though. Blades of Chaos. That's one plowed field.
Just fucking spinning through
like,
the field.
It's like we've got all this grass.
No, but I'd like to...
That shit's now cut up hay.
I'd like to see, like, it's, you know, Kratos in his older years at the farm. You know, he's retired and he's just trying to make an honest living under the radar and all, for whatever reason. This is following God of War 4. So all this shit's going to happen and his kid's going to die.
Whoa.
Yeah, the kid's so dead. And then that's how he gets angry again.
Okay.
And then, yeah, he's kind of done with it. But as you're farming and think you're not doing things right or optimally, his rage meter goes up. And when it hits peak, everything you've done that day just gets fucking destroyed because he just loses his shit and just starts fucking smashing.
So you're not
everything.
Just managing stamina, you're also managing rage. Your rage. And
but rage is managed by doing things the correct way and not fucking up. Maybe it's like a set of mini games and every time you fail, your rage goes up or something. I don't know.
What's been more interesting though, the other when the Harvest Moon character goes into the God of War world, you're walking around this fucking ruined Greece
with like, this little hoe.
What the fuck is hoe and maybe a sickle and a bag of potatoes.
A hole of chaos. They're your projectiles.
Yeah, and Zeus is like, boy! You're like,
you wouldn't last very long. Especially considering the Harvest Moon you were playing just then, the kid's like 7. Dad's like, we'll go after this farm, see ya.
I'm out. Peace. Have a good life. Bye. But yeah, no, like, wouldn't that be an amazing shot of just like this farm? We've got, we've got Kratos using the Blades of Chaos, these beautiful weapons that have murdered millions and thousands of people and gods.
Yeah.
Opening bags of seeds.
What other weapons does he get?
He gets like the Hades forks. He gets the Hercules fists.
The fist could be for plowing the field.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's for like packing down dirt.
Yeah, like
take that into the mines.
Like you mash X and it's like just fucking punching the ground.
He has like Icarus wings as well.
Yeah.
So we can use that in some way. He's got like the bow and arrow. He's got like, I just like he's unlocked the freeze ability, which you just get. You could have some fun with this.
If you didn't notice, we didn't really have anything to talk about this week for the main topic.
So we just like, let's throw ideas at each other.
I was hoping to do a segment on, the top things come out of Gamescom, but unfortunately not too much really happened. Not enough to talk about, as I'd talk about Gwen as the main topic any day. So yeah, we thought we'd have some fun. So let us know any games you think would deserve a crossover, pitch it to us, and we'll do our best to pitch it to the relevant people and get that game on the shelves.
Less crossovers. Mario and Sonic, fuck them. Those games balls. Like Mario Sonic at the Olympics, hate them.
Oh yeah, I forgot that existed.
Good, keep it that way.
Well, let's do something.
So they're games that have they're games that aren't existing.
Let's continue that with let's mix two games from the drop together.
Oh, okay.
So here's the drop for this week. Changing segments, kind of in the middle at the moment. So here's the drop. I'll go through it for you. I'll go through the drop and then.
So we're moving into the drop. This is the games that are coming to the players.
And then we'll mix two together.
Deal.
Absolver, PS4 digital.
That's another, I believe that is another Devolver game, maybe?
Maybe. Art of Fighting Anthology, PS2 remake on PS4 digital. Dead Alliance, PS4 digital and retail. Detention, PS4 digital. Everybody's Golf, PS4 digital and retail. Fishing Planet, PS4 digital. Grim Legends 2, Song of the Darkswan, PS4 digital. Last Day of June, PS4 digital. Life is Strange Before the Storm, Episode 1, PS4 digital. The Lost Bear, PSVR digital. The Metronomicon Slay the Dance Floor, PS4 digital. I've already got my crossover right here. Abduction, PS4 digital. Pillars of Eternity Complete Edition, PS4 digital and retail. Readout, PS4 digital and retail. Resident Evil Revelations, PS4 digital and retail. Rock of Ages 2, Bigger and Bolder, B-O-U-L-D-E-R, clever, PS4 digital. Sneaky Bears, PS4 VR digital. Spark, PS4 VR digital. Still Time, PS4, PS Vita digital. Fuck, this list is long. Surf World Series, PS4 digital. Warrior All Stars, PS4 digital and retail. White Day, a labyrinth named school, PS4 digital. Windjammers, PS4, PS Vita. X-Morph Defense, PS4 digital. Yakuza Kiwami, PS4 digital retail.
I got mine.
Alright, go.
Sneaky Bears and The Lost Bear.
The Lost Bear?
Yep.
What was The Lost? Was
so
there?
Sneaky
oh,
Bears.
Oh, it was a game. Okay, so I'll read you the description of both of them and you tell me how they work. Sneaky Bears. The world is under attack by evil teddy bears led by the evil mastermind Bear Frank. They have seized control of a toy factory in which they are building an evil teddy bear army to take over the world. And The Lost Bear.
Up.
Alphabet's hard. Keep going.
I just picture it with like as I like the I like
and the Lost Bear.
The,
immerse yourself in a hand-drawn world of the Lost Bear. Help Walnut on her journey through a mysterious land corrupted by the toy-stealing snatcher.
Toy-stealing snatcher.
Toy-stealing snatcher.
Two. There's two. So two toy Bear Games.
So the mysterious world she's going through is this toy factory.
I just like the idea of the sneaky bear that's so sneaky gets lost.
Well, I was
granted, not a lot of thought went into that one.
Okay, so for context, the thumbnail for The Last Day of June is a general. It looks like a really touching game. I'm not trying to take away from that. It does sound like a really heartfelt game, but the thumbnail for the thing is a dude in a wheelchair. So I'd like to see him try to participate in Metronomicon Slay the Dance Floor.
One went the other way, as in Life is Strange, Slay the Dance Floor.
The standouts there are Fishing Planet,
which is that
obviously
fucking metal as shit trailer.
Yep.
Meh.
I think that was on for the trailers last week.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And where is
Life
it?
Life is Strange, it should be interesting if that's what you're into.
Until they fix
Everybody's Golf, another PlayStation exclusive for the week.
Yeah. That's about it, I think.
Yeah. Moving on.
We got all the segments mixed up in this show.
Yeah, we did. Like, the order's thrown this week.
We normally do questions before.
We do normally do the questions first.
Speaking of questions.
Moving on.
Max bamboozled us with questions.
Yeah, Max bombarded the fuckers with the questions.
Bombardment!
With the release of Destiny 2 fast approaching, what things help keep you coming back to a game? I'm a hardcore grinder and I tend to burn myself out rather quickly if there isn't enough strong endgame content.
Hellboy brings me back to games, as we said earlier. Yeah. Just, I don't know, it's good. It's not as rare that I can go back to a game. Until they bring out DLC. Like Horizon, I'm going to go back to that in November when the Frozen Wilds comes out. It just has to be good DLC. Now, if he's talking games, like grindy games, like, you know, Destinies and all that, you know, the endless games, you know, the world of an MMO, same thing. You know, you kind of, well, in WoW anyway, I'd get to max level, kind of do some things, mm-hmm. and then bail until another big patch came out with all this new stuff, come back in, do the stuff, bail again, expansion comes out, I'm back in, I'll do the expansion stuff, I'm out again. It just has to be good DLC. Basically.
With my inability to finish a game, the answer is, I don't know.
That's very thoughtful of you.
What else did he get? He has a big thing about winning back. If a game is a bad launch and you play the worst version of that game, is there anything they can do to win you back? With No Man's Sky as an example, with their new release of the DLC, looks like a lot of people are returning.
It does sound like a lot of people are returning. A lot of... seems good faith is being restored for No Man's Sky.
So this is what I think the big difference is. If they stick to it long enough, they can flip it.
Mm.
They can make it worse or they can flip it. But very
take Andromeda for example.
Andromeda is a perfect example of that. Like, there is no way that people are going to get a good story out of Andromeda. No. Now that it's been completely canned,
yeah.
Like,
there's no chance of redemption
anymore. People
just
remember how garbage it was.
Yeah.
Like, they could have won the people over with DLC.
Put in the hard work, put in the extra dollars.
Yeah.
Fix it and go, we were here.
Like, here it is.
We were here the whole time. We were with you and we fixed it.
Yeah, and that's to the credit of, like, you know, as much as people gave, what are they called?
I don't know.
No Man's Sky people.
Hello Games.
Much of shit they gave to Hello Games, to their credit, they've stuck to it. Yeah.
You just can't put Sean Murray in front of a camera ever again.
No, he'll never be able to talk to anyone, ever.
But also, things like Final Fantasy 15, the story towards the end from chapter, I think it was 13 onwards, apparently was super rushed, and Square are like, we're going to fix that later, eventually. So, I don't know. It seems kind of dirty. Like
that part
it seems
dirty.
Like, well, we've rushed the game out because we needed to hit a deadline.
Yeah,
and then it's like, we'll fix it later.
Yeah, that makes you that kind of... Like, people that bought it at release day.
Yeah, people that bought it are like, well, I'm playing the inferior version now. So this new version better be fucking rad.
And final question for the week comes from James, not my son. If it was, it'd be... Dada. James asks, how does one properly balance the release window of October and November? In the space of about 4 weeks, there are some seriously heavy hitters in quality and time consumption. And he's listed a few that take his interest. South Park, October 17. Assassin's Creed, October 27. Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus, October 27. Call of Duty World War 2, November 3. Need for Speed Payback, November 10. Star Wars Battlefront 2, November 14. He's also not put in there Mario... Mario Odyssey, which also comes out on 27 as well.
Well, the top tip I have for you is not being interested in any of those games.
Must work.
Like, I'm not. The only game out of all of that I have reasonable interest in...
Did you put Assassin's Creed on that list as well?
He did, yeah. The only game I'm reasonably interested in is South Park, which thankfully is a couple of weeks before that end of October rush. But either way, we do need to cover them. So as the boss man, what's your plan?
See, that's the thing. So we can talk about us as people, right? The answer is I can't play all those games in 1 week, let alone afford that. Mm. You know what I mean? Jesus. Yeah. But let's talk about how we are looking at doing it.
It's too hard to plan because we don't know if we're getting early copies of anything. Yeah. We don't know when that's going
to
be.
See, for us, it would mostly come down to a lot of different factors. It would come down to whether, the PR companies are nice enough to provide us with early copies. How early do we get them? With Wolfenstein as example, all media will get it the day before.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of narrows that down pretty quick. Mm. Nintendo quite swell. If all goes well, Mario probably like a week early. Mm-hmm. Gives a couple, some time to go on that.
Here's the thing: I am not buying any of these games.
I'm buying South Park.
South Park, maybe. I'm still on the fence. Call of Duty. Depends how deep I still am in Destiny 2 at that point.
Yeah.
But I'm not keen enough for any of those games to buy them at full price on release day.
See, the problem that I'm having is if they were more separated. I'd likely buy most of them.
Yeah.
But because they're all jam-packed in such a short period of time. And with the October 27 games, that is the PAX weekend.
Ah, cool.
To add something else to it.
Yeah. So,
if it was more spread out, it's likely that I would buy more of them if we weren't to receive copies.
You know, if we get copies, I'm happy to play them and, so we can talk about them. Live streams can be
difficult.
And I guess. But I'm not buying any of them because I'm not really keen for any of them. So,
how we're going to do it is pretty much play the ones we can when we can, probably stick as close to embargo dates as possible.
If it comes to crunch, we just have to pick the games we think will be more popular
within our audience.
Within our audience.
There are some games that we may not have a lot to say about.
Yep.
That's something that doesn't interest us. So that's that balance there. That'll narrow it out. Hot Pursuit. Need for Speed? Looks really cool. I believe it's made by Criterion, the guys that did Burnout. Burnout's sick.
Mm, but it's not for me.
But it's probably not something we're going to jump out on. Star Wars, big yes. Keen to ship Star Wars, even though I spent about 3 hours in the previous one.
Yeah.
I want that single player bar.
Now, there was one more question that you omitted.
Which one?
The one from Max.
Max says, how many games have you seen to completion this year? Because we haven't.
How many games have you started this year and how many games have you completed?
Oh, like 30 and 1.
That's a really bad ratio.
Yeah. I said I believe it's 30 and 2.
It's not.
Can't prove otherwise.
I've started 13 games and finished 8 of them.
Nice.
That's nice. I actually have a list here.
Oh.
Okay, I'll run you through it. Because every time we get to the end of the year, mm-hmm. it's like when it comes to like game of the year and all that, we're like, what
have we
played? I started
that and then it got really huge.
Yeah. So games I've played, and I'll announce the ones that I've finished. Horizon Zero Dawn, completed. Now, Rocket League, I say completed because I got the platinum.
Mm-hmm.
Wildlands, didn't complete. Resident Evil 7, didn't complete. Shadow of Mordor, didn't complete. Neo, didn't complete. Skyrim Remastered, done and dusted. Persona 4 Golden, done and dusted. Persona 5, done and dusted. Walking Dead Season 2, finished. Darksiders 1, not finished. Injustice 2, finished. Overwatch, I'll class that as finished, judging I've put in about 80 hours. And Gwent, I've put in 50, so I class that as finished. I've seen everything it has to offer, is what I mean.
These are the games up until about June that I played. Sniper Elite 4, For Honor, Resident Evil 7, Neo, Death Squared, Horizon Zero Dawn, 1-2 Switch, Breath of the Wild, Ghost Recon Wildlands, This Is the Police, MLB The Show 17, Persona 5, WWE 2K, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe I beat the fuck out of. Like I think I did all the thing. I don't know how you finished that game, but Ukulele, City Skylines, Outlast 2, and then God of War 3, Death Squared again on the Switch, Escapists 2, Overwatch,
Lost Legacy,
and that's not even all of them. I play shallow. I don't play tall. I play shallow.
Yeah. So you're not getting full experiences. That's the thing.
I disagree. I get what I want out of it, and that's what counts. What,
spending $80 for 45 minutes of gameplay?
I play more than 45 minutes on some games.
Mm. What's that ratio?
Ooh, poor. Don't go there.
Should I tell your wife?
Well, see, that's the benefit. Like, one of the key reasons that I'm like, we need to stream any new game we get, because that means I'll get at least 2 hours out of it.
It's not the right motivation.
No, but it also helps motivate for more content too, which is really good. Okay. Speaking of more content though, that's the end of this one. Always more to come, of course. You do your thing.
I keep forgetting that we do it at the end as well.
We do.
If you like that PlayStation conversation, you can join in many more every week, Monday morning, 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, iTunes, and other podcast services. You can contribute to this conversation by submitting questions at www.thepopculturist.com/questions. More conversation happens over on our Facebook community group page, facebook.com/groups/thepopculturists. And over there, you can also get a link to our Discord channel where the most conversation happens by our phone batteries just gone. Because people like to chat. Mm. If you really like what we do, please head over to patreon.com/thepopculturists. Check out the tiers there. There might be something there that interests you.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was for the players. Hey, Dave, how's the game? It's good? Sweet.